Warning. A loyal listener sent me sunflower seeds today, and we visited the liquor store recently, so there may be a lot of smacking and ice clanking this week. I apologize in advance. Listener discretion is advised. Coming to you from America's Wang, this is Florida Man, the podcast for Tuesday, August the 27th, 2019.
Each week we bring you stories from the shady side of the Sunshine State, starring America's most prolific criminal, Florida Man.
And in this week's episode,
we find out the penalty for stuffing an alligator into your yoga pants.
A Florida high school finds a masked robber ripping off their vending machine.
A Florida neighborhood has a problem that really stinks.
And a Florida gator goes for a swim in an unusual place.
Plus, a Florida man food fight, listener email and V-mail, and much, much more. And we do have email and V-mail this week. Yes. So we'll get to those later. So.
I mean, if I'm unusually quiet tonight, it's not because I don't have things to say.
It's because your mouth's full of
sunflower seeds. My mouth's full of sunflower seeds.
Yeah, thanks, Heather.
Oh, God. This is so good. I'm taking these to work with me. I got to hide them in the gun safe so the kids don't get them.
Okay. Did they eat all of our jerky from last week?
No. Okay. No, but I do need to put some in there for safekeeping, though. I hide anything good that's I want to keep, like the Flamin' Hot Fritos. Those go in the gun safe. Flamin' Hot Doritos.
I tried the Flamin' Hot Doritos this week. I'm not a fan.
No, the Fritos are the best.
I don't know. With the Doritos, I want to have some of the cheese flavor, and all I got was heat out of those.
You got what?
Heat. Mm. It was just really the spicy. There wasn't really much flavor to it.
Really?
Yeah.
Did it bother you afterwards?
No.
Well,
no.
Everything came out all right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm, okay. I got to put these down.
Yeah.
I'm going to. I promise. For a minute.
Well, I don't know if I know you're not a big podcast, at least not a big true crime podcast listener, but there's been some.
Do we have drama?
Well, there's some drama in the industry this week and this past
week. I did read a little bit about that.
Yeah. It did make it pretty, made it into some news sources. One of the top podcasts actually got some shit about not citing their sources.
Oh, really?
Properly and not actually just reading verbatim from Wikipedia and from the scripts of other podcasts. So I mean, we've always had the links to the original stories that we do in our show notes, but I just want to, going forward, we're going to mention on the air essentially where each of our stories is coming from, just to be transparent, so nobody accuses us of, because we basically just read the stories verbatim out of the news anyway.
And then comment with our own commentaries.
Exactly.
I don't listen to a ton of podcasts.
Right.
So I don't know these other stories and ripping them off.
Right.
This is all from my sick head.
Yeah. We just, all of our commentary is completely off the cuff. We don't really script anything that we do. It's just as it comes to mind and as we read the stories.
Now, you sent me a link today. Did we mention last week that we were interviewed or 2 weeks ago we were interviewed by the, South Carolina, one of the public radio stations in South Carolina?
We did, yes.
And, that came out, right?
It did.
Yeah. Apparently, I got bleeped a lot.
You got bleeped twice.
Twice? Was it just twice?
Yeah. You said shit twice, and you can't say that on the radio.
You can't?
No. You can say damn. You can say hell. Most stations,
you can't
say
shit.
You can't say shit. You can't say shit. You can't say fuck. What are the words?
Don't make me pull up George Carlin.
Yeah. I used to know the 7 words you can't say on TV. They're pretty much the same words you can't say on radio. I think it's shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits.
I think
you can say tits now, though.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, now you can say tits.
The 7 dirty words?
Yeah.
Well, you just mentioned Wikipedia. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits.
Yep. I'm glad I still remember those. I love George Carlin.
You can't say tits?
Well, you can now, but back in the day when he wrote this bit, you couldn't. But yeah, NPR has they're a little more concerned.
They're a little strict.
You did say damn, and they didn't bleep that, so.
Oh, okay. Well, they didn't give me the ground rules when I started.
No. I think they didn't want us to censor ourselves. They figured they'd do it for us. I mean, he'd listened to our show before he interviewed us, and he knew what he was in for. So
fair enough.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun. I've even added a media section to our website now with a link to their show.
Very nice. I'm sorry. I still have a mouthful of sunflowers. I was going to put sunflower seeds. I was going to put them down. I can't put them down. I'm addicted to sunflower seeds. You think Davis would sponsor us?
Hey, if you keep saying his name, maybe they will.
All right.
You got anything else?
I got none.
All right. Well, here's a message from another podcast you should be listening to.
Movies inspired by real crimes, cruise ship deaths, and disappearances, crimes that shape the course of history, and crimes involving families. These are just a few of the series you can find on Corpus Delicti. Corpus Delicti is a weekly true crime podcast that takes a series approach, spending several weeks at a time discussing crime within a certain topic. Hosted by two Southern Belles, we bring you compelling stories with a hint of Southern charm. Sometimes the stories will make you cry. Sometimes you might even laugh, but they're stories you won't want to miss. Find Corpus Delicti on your favorite podcast app by searching for CORPUSDELICTI and join us every Tuesday. Hope to see you then.
You good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I was waiting. I was doing the commercial break. I was there eating.
Gotcha. You didn't wait till the commercial break. You were still doing it on the air, too.
Oh.
You got anything you want to plug this week? All right. Well, as usual, I will be on Wednesday night at the Trivia Factory in the Brass Tap in North Naples doing trivia from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. And then on Thursday night from 7 to 9, I will be at Fancy Southern Cafe in Fort Myers with the Geeks Who Drink pub quiz. That is free to play, as is the Trivia Factory at the Brass Tap. And you can win food and drinks at both of them.
And we didn't make it this week.
I noticed that.
We didn't make it. Now, a friend of ours did, and she did not come up and talk to you, but a girl I work with was there.
Okay.
Her and her significant other was there. And it was crowded this past week.
It was packed. Yeah. Every seat was full.
And so they couldn't find a seat. So they went inside and ate, then to the restaurant area and ate. And they came back out. And they couldn't see you. They could only hear you talking in the specific context of what you were doing at that time. She sends me a note and says, the guy doing trivia is weird.
Okay. Well, I was in my defense, I wasn't the only one doing trivia last week. I was training a new employee.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's even better. So I told her, I said, be nice to Joel. He's my friend. And she said, I wasn't being ugly. Don't be rude. I said, I'm not being rude, but I don't be ugly to Joel. Yep. So I stood up for you. And
I'm going to go with that.
We were going to, we actually have a team now that we've got five of us that we're going to come participate.
Cool.
And, we just couldn't make it last week. It was, we needed a mental health night at home. So no we cooked problem. Dinner here and had a great date night and here at the house by herself.
Little bounce, bow wow.
No, not that. Not during, no, date well, night. Now I'm not talking about after. Date night is from 6 to 8. 6 to 8.
Okay.
We're not talking about after 8.
You're not talking about late I'm night talking, after dark.
No, I'm not talking about after dark. I'm talking just during that time period. We had a nice dinner. We listened to some music. We had nice conversation. It was a date night.
And you didn't have to think about
movie trivia.
Who played what actor and what?
I do some of the movie stuff I do okay with. The one that gets me, any Broadway shit, I'm dead in the water.
Yeah, there wasn't any of that last week. Last week was tough. Last week had a couple of really tough rounds. So
those are hard. I mean, the Broadway stuff, I am not good at all. I don't read a lot of books. You know, I'm not a big reader of novels and things. So right. I don't know writers. I don't know Broadway shows. I don't know, you know, I know a lot of random weird shit.
That's that usually can help. That's usually the difference between a team that that does pretty good and a team that does really good is if they've got somebody who just has that random knowledge that
like the last night we were there 2 weeks ago and they had the one of the questions it was the one who snuffs out the torch type. Well, it was Jeff Probst. I knew. Yeah. I watched Survivor for years.
And Rock and Roll Jeopardy.
And Rock and Roll Jeopardy. And I think my girlfriend and I were the only ones that got that right.
You were the only ones that got that right.
So it's just some random stuff. Oh yeah, I got that. I know that. And nobody else know it.
Yep.
You pull up the stuff like the stuff that you like that everybody should know, dead in the water.
Well, that's why you need a couple of nerds. You need a science nerd. You need a English/book nerd, and you need a sports nerd on your team. Yeah. You got those three people, and then somebody with random knowledge like you. Oh, and a music. You need a music person too.
Some of the music I can do. I'm sorry, back into Sunflowers again. If some of the music, but if, when you get back in the 60s, 50s, and other older than that, I don't know a lot of that. But
or the 2010s and 2000s.
Well, I don't do now. I'm not. That's a good point. Now, I do not know a lot of current pop.
Right.
I don't like hip hop. That's my personal preference. Not knocking the genre. I can't stand. I'm not a big R&B guy. I like the old school.
Motown
sound.
Yeah, I grew up
very influential with that.
Southern Michigan, you got it.
I grew up in Southern Mississippi, so big blues, Delta, that type of B.B. King and Muddy Waters and those things, but not the current hip hop. I don't know any of it.
Yeah, no. If you guess either Drake or right now Lil Nas X, guess one of those for a rap song, you got a 50-50 shot of getting it right.
That is not country music. I'm sorry. Nothing knocking him. He's in the wrong genre. That is not country. I put my foot down on that.
You know what? I say that a lot about a lot of current country, too.
Don't disagree. There's a lot of shit that comes out of Nashville now that is not country.
Yep.
And I like a lot of the country I like is actually Texas. That what they call red clay kind of genre of country. Much more about the band, not the individual artist, which Nashville will take some pretty boy, pretty girl and voice correct them and put them up front of the world and call it today.
And they got the same band that's back in 50 different people.
Yeah. So that's not what I like. So that's just my old school trip, my old school personal preference. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, we just found out my wife is going for a work conference to Austin, Texas next month.
That'd be cool.
I wish I could go with her right now.
This is going to be a problem.
Yeah, I can see that.
Big time.
You think it's bad. I got to see what's stuck on the inside of the cup on this side.
All right. I'm sorry. Oh, Heather, I love you, but damn, these are annoying to everybody, but I'm a happy boy. I got two bottles of Tito's in there, plenty of mixers, lots of ice, and a new bag of sunflower seeds. All right. With that, let's get into story number one. The story comes to us from the Miami Herald, and we're doing a follow-up. Yes. Follow-up, Florida woman pulls an alligator from her yoga pants. Now a judge has his say.
Yes, sir.
We covered this about 3 weeks ago.
Maybe
longer than that, yeah. The Florida woman's first mistake, putting an alligator inside her yoga pants and more than 40 turtles into a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle backpack.
You really should only have 4 turtles in that backpack.
Yeah, agreed.
Donatello, Raphael, Michelangelo.
And her second mistake.
Leonardo.
And her second mistake was getting into a pickup truck with a driver who would soon be pulled over for running a stop sign.
If you're smuggling reptiles, you might want to obey the
all present, past, and future laws.
Yeah.
That's when a Charlotte County deputy asked the pair why they had the wildlife inside the pickup truck.
Well, if we had it outside, they might escape.
Yep. When they told him they were collecting frogs and snakes, the deputy asked if they had anything more.
Oh, I can show you some more.
That's when on May the 6th, Ariel Michelle Marchand. How many damn names has she got? Hang on. Ariel Michelle Marchand
LeQuire.
God damn. All right. Pulled a foot-long alligator out of the yoga pants she was wearing.
Usually when you pull a foot long out of your pants, it's not an alligator.
On Wednesday, Charlotte County Judge Peter Bell in Punta Gorda sentenced the 26-year-old woman to 6 months probation and 200 hours of community service.
That's 5 straight weeks of 40-hour days or 40-hour weeks.
Miss Michelle was also ordered to donate $500 to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, the agency that handled the investigation after deputies charged her with possession of an American alligator, possessing more than one turtle per day.
Wait. So you can have one turtle.
Apparently.
But you can't have two.
Not per day. Transporting
so
more
I can
than
have one. I can have one turtle today. I can go out and get a second turtle tomorrow.
Yes.
And I can get a third turtle on Thursday.
We can do this all night, Joel, if you want. But as right now, it appears as though it's one turtle per day.
But if I have three, I have to spread it out over 3 days.
Yes.
Okay. That's an interesting rule.
This would be a very poor state to for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to try to get in a car and fight crime.
Yeah, April O'Neil would get her ass handed to her.
And they got in trouble for transporting more than one turtle or turtle eggs, and one count of possessing a soft shell turtle.
So they just caught one of those?
Yep. In July, she was cited for failing to appear in court.
Ooh,
that's not good.
Nope.
She listed, how do you say that again?
LaQuire
listed as homeless on her booking record. Was jailed on July the 29th and held on a $10,000 bond. She was released on Wednesday to face the judge.
Okay, so she got 200 hours of community service.
Yep.
6 months probation.
6 months probation.
And she had to donate $500 to the FWC.
Yep.
And she's homeless.
And she's homeless.
And she had a $10,000 bond.
Which she had to pay, that would have been $1,000 for her to get out.
If she wanted to get out. I mean, if she's homeless, where's she going to go? Might as well house me.
Yeah, three square meals.
Maybe that was her plan all along.
I think there's more things you could do to get arrested than that.
Why would you have the alligator in your pants?
We still didn't discuss that. I'm sorry, I'm back on the sunflower seeds. Oh my God, he's good. Hang on. I
got one. That's what she said.
Oh, shut up. Okay. We talked about that, and it was if she had it, they were unclear in the story.
Right.
Did she have underwear on, or was she commando? Let's assume both. Well, let's play it through both ways.
Okay.
Not assume both.
I was going to say, that's like Schrodinger's underwear.
Yeah. Now, if she had no underwear on, that means the alligator's next to the hoo-ha.
Yes.
If she had underwear on, there's only a thin layer of nylon between her and the hoo-ha.
Either way.
There's an alligator very, very close to her hoo-ha. Now, the point of the story.
Did she put it in head first or tail first?
Don't know. That wasn't clear. There were no pictures.
So much but left untold.
It is. Story. However, I completely lost my train of thought.
Have another sunflower seed. Maybe we'll come back to it.
No, I'm not doing anymore. I can't. Maybe during break. Do we have a break? We don't actually do breaks.
We do whatever
we're gonna need a break. We're going to need a break. That shit's going down like water tonight. Okay. $10,000 and the public defender. She had a public defender and entered a plea of no contest. That means I'm not admitting I'm guilty, but I'm not admitting I'm not claiming innocence either.
I'm not going to fight it, but.
You know, bring your best.
Yep.
Power to you.
Ariel.
It's called AA batteries.
AA.
And the magic rabbit. But I guess the alligator was cheaper and.
I mean.
It's wiggling.
You're homeless. You work with what
it's
got.
It's purring. You know, it's.
They like to growl a little
bit. Growl a little bit. Got a little grumble going, a little going down there. Taking a big risk, though.
It's waterproof.
Moving on.
Yeah, let's move on to story number two. This one is from the
Palm. I have not read this one yet.
This is from the Palm Beach Post and WPTV.com. Florida neighborhood is overrun by vomiting vultures.
Oh, that's not good.
A New York couple's luxurious Florida vacation home has been taken over by dozens of black vultures that are vomiting and defecating everywhere. The Palm Beach Post reports that the Casimano family can't even visit their $702,000 home they purchased earlier in the year in the Ibis Golf and Country Club. They couldn't negotiate down just to 700 even.
They couldn't round it down.
They needed the extra
had to get
$2,000.
$2,000, yeah.
Siobhan Casimano describes the smell as, quote, like 1,000 rotting corpses. Isn't that a Rob Zombie film? House of 1,000 Corpses?
Do not know that.
And says vultures have destroyed their screened enclosures, overtaken the pool, and dented their cars with their beaks. Neighbor Cheryl Katz has also complained about the issue. She says another neighbor excessively feeds vultures, causing them to return. That's the problem.
Here we
right
go.
There.
Yeah, there was. This is not normal. This is somebody feeding. This is somebody that they formed a habit. Yep. She's feeding them something that is upsetting their stomachs and their shit and throwing up everywhere.
Either that or
it's an age-old prank of when you're out by the beach and seagulls are everywhere and you feed them X-Lax and the brownies. You know, and then all of a sudden they're all flying around. They all flock to it and they start shitting on everything.
No. That's not what happens when you feed X-Lax. Oh, X-Lax. I was thinking Alka-Seltzer.
They blow up on Alka-Seltzer.
Well, they don't really blow up so much as they just stop flying and drop to the ground immediately. I'm sorry, that's terrible. I've never done it, but I've seen it done. It's horrible.
Absolutely horrible, you say? Death.
Yeah, because the seagull can't burp. So their stomach just expands with that Alka-Seltzer until it, like...
All right, we're not talking about that. We're talking about X-Lax.
Yeah, we're talking about X-Lax, and we're talking about vultures. Stan Smith, a program assistant in agriculture and natural resources at the Ohio State University Extension, said that unlike the more benign turkey vulture, that's the one that I'm used to seeing, is the turkey vulture. If a black vulture is hungry, it won't hesitate to attack house pets. Cassimano would be wise to keep her 2-year-old away from the birds, he agreed. Damn, they got a 2-year-old and these angry ass birds are shitting, puking everywhere. They tore up her screens on her pool enclosure. Yeah, quote, a black-headed vulture will not go within eyesight of its own dead, which is bizarre. They eat roadkill, but if they see their own, they will not go near it, unquote, Smith said.
Okay.
Katz, though, said she spoke to someone at the U.S. Wildlife Service and learned it's hard to get a permit to kill one. The option is to get someone to kill one on the sly and claim it was found dead, but you can go to jail for that, she said.
Now,
so U.S. Wildlife Service, did they give her that advice to kill one of these things on the sly? And then there's
probably not, but I don't know. That's one of those that you ask for forgiveness instead of permission.
Yeah. Yeah. She says, some people have tried fireworks or balloons to scare off the birds, but that doesn't work for long. One neighbor put up a stuffed animal effigy, she said.
What is that? What's a stuffed animal effigy?
Well, it's basically a stuffed animal. An effigy is like when you like have a artificial representation of a real person. Like you can hang somebody in effigy. You'll hang as a political protest. You'll make a dummy of like the politician that you don't like, and you'll hang them in effigy.
Got it. All right.
Katz put 4 fake owls on her house with moving heads and lights that blink. The vultures chewed the owls apart. They ripped the heads off, she said. This is disgusting.
May I introduce you to what would be a good one?
22?
I'm thinking 22 with birdshot. That's what I'd start with.
Quiet.
Simple.
Yep. Little pop.
But you know what? Those vultures, they look big because they've got all those feathers, but they're really not that big underneath all that plumage.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to hit. Most of the time when you shoot them, you're going to just get a whole bunch of feathers.
Well, you shoot enough of them, they get the point.
If you want to see some pictures of these fuckers, they're in the links in the show notes. They have torn up this whole lanai. There's just birds just sitting everywhere.
How many?
Dozens.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I don't. We can fix that.
Yeah.
This is one of the, seriously, you need to ask for forgiveness and not permission.
Yeah, and you know, the one that's feeding them, that's the one that's going to call the FWC on them.
Yeah. Why would you feed a vulture?
Because you feel sorry for them because you're a bleeding heart tree hugger.
You almost said liberal.
No, I didn't say liberal. I'm a bleeding heart liberal, but I'm not a tree hugger.
There you go. Story number 3. Florida man faces chargings over cougar escape in Florida.
Boxing scene. I have never heard a boxing scene.
I guess if you're into boxing and if you're into that whole scene, this is a site you go to.
Very good, Joel. That's why you're the top play-by-play man of this podcast.
According to the Sun Sentinel, 33-year-old Florida boxer Tyrone Sponge. Spong? Spong?
Yeah, and it's Tyrone.
What did I say?
Tyrone.
Not even close.
That ain't even a fucking name.
Tyrone Sponge.
It's Tyrone Spong, asshole.
Matt from Washington State. Hope you're enjoying this. He was charged with numerous offenses, including keeping an animal without a permit in connection with his pet cougar escaping from his Florida home earlier this year. Spong's manager declined to comment.
He has an unusual pet.
Yep. He has a 13-0 with 12 KOs record. He's scheduled to fight again on August the 31st in Mexico. He's been out of the ring since last December. Parkland.
That's
a long time between fights.
Yeah, I was going to say that's. I wish I could go to work 2 days out of a year.
Yeah, to get your ass kicked.
Yeah. He's kicking ass. He's not getting.
Well, that's a good point. You got me on that one. Parkland residents in Florida spotted what they believed was an endangered Florida panther in January. Responding wildlife officers subdued it with a tranquilizer.
Now we
have panthers here, and it is against the law to you cannot trap a Florida Panther.
No, you have to have very special permits to even keep them. But this apparently was not a panther.
What?
No, this is a cougar.
Cougar?
A cougar.
Well, how did I get panther out of this?
Because that's what people thought when they saw it, because they're very similar.
Although parkland,
you don't assume it's going to be a cougar walking around in Florida. You think Florida?
Well, we got lots of cougars in Florida.
Well, that's at the nightclubs.
Oh, all right.
At least until 10:30 p.m. Yeah. Then they got to go.
They got to go. Yeah. Although parkland is near the eastern edge of Florida panther habitat, the state wildlife investigators doubted the animal was one of the native felines. They say the large cat is actually a captive bred cougar.
I thought they were pretty much the same thing.
I have no idea.
Maybe they did a DNA test on it.
I don't know, Joel. Investigators.
I just took a DNA test. I came back 100% cougar.
Investigators have solved the mystery.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
As they determined it had escaped from a cage in a nearby backyard. Officials say the cougar was underweight when captured, but has since made a full recovery.
Well, it was cutting weight for his next fight.
It's now been housed in a licensed facility.
So is that like, I mean, this guy is obviously, I've never heard of him. Is he working his way up to like Mike Tyson level where you keep tigers?
It doesn't say what class he's fighting in.
He's not so high up in the rankings yet that he's earned tiger status.
Probably not.
He's just that cougar.
Mr. Spong kept an extremely dangerous class 1 cougar, which ultimately escaped and was loose in the residential neighborhood during daylight hours while school was not in session during New Year's Day 2019.
How would you like to wake up with a hangover on New Year's Day
and find a fucking cougar outside your back
door? There's a cougar in your backyard. I'm going back to bed. I'm hallucinating.
Spong was hit with 20 misdemeanor charges. The paper notes that he was charged with keeping the animal without a permit, allowing it to escape, keeping it in too small of a cage, failing to provide it with toys or other stimulation. I only had a dollar for every time I've heard that.
I need some toys, honey.
Not providing shelter, and several other charges.
So he kept it in a tiny little cage in the backyard where it could rain on him. Didn't give him any toys.
Investigators also found a caged...
It's a bird.
I know. Macaw?
Yeah.
Macaw. And cockatiel birds that lacked water or clean water, for which he was also charged. He had a bunch of shit he shouldn't have had.
Well, he wasn't taking care of them.
He wasn't taking care of
them. It's not that he shouldn't have had a macaw or cockatiels, but you got to take care of them.
I
fucking hate birds as pets. When I was in high school, I was in a pet store. I worked at a pet store. It was my job. Birds are fucking nasty.
Yeah, I have no... desire for that. Each of the charges carries a maximum penalty of a $500 fine and up to 60 days in jail.
I saw a meme once that said, dog people and cat people might disagree on things, but we'll always know that bird people are fucking weird.
Well said, Joel.
And even weirder is cougar people.
Well,
that's technically a cat person.
That's a cat person.
That's a cat person.
It's a weird cat person. Food fight! Now it's time for the Florida Man
Food Fight. This week, our food fight comes to you from the Huffington Post, and it is a story out of Volusia County. Masked burglar trapped inside the vending machine he tried to rob. A raccoon, apparently attempting to score a free snack, wound up getting trapped inside a vending machine at a Florida high school on Wednesday and had to be freed by animal control.
Now, wait a minute. We're talking about the ones where it's got the two layer, so you can't push it open to reach your hand up. It's got the two layers, so he crawled in, it closes, and then he goes up,
exactly.
And now he can't get back out.
Yeah, this gentleman was apprehended today while committing a burglary of a vending machine at Pine Ridge High School, wrote the Volusia County Sheriff's Office on Facebook. We think he made it in through the bottom door, Sheriff's spokesman Andrew Gant told HuffPost in an email. According to Gant, multiple students, along with the sheriff's deputy who was already on the school campus, spotted the raccoon inside the machine, and the deputy contacted animal control. How'd you like to, you're in between classes, you want to go get some...
They are not nice
flaming
animals.
Hot Doritos. Mm. Or Fritos.
Or sunflower seeds.
And you go, and there's a goddamn raccoon. You know,
so what did the raccoon eat? How much did he eat?
It didn't say. A video posted by the department Wednesday afternoon shows the raccoon being sprung from the machine, which had been wheeled outside, and scampering to freedom. They let his ass go. They didn't take him to jail or nothing. Spokeswoman Laura Williams, who described the raccoon as a, quote, wacky guy, unquote, added that in order to free him, they had to wait until someone from the vending machine company came to unlock the machine. That means the raccoon was stuck for about 4 hours. Neither Gant nor Williams was sure whether he actually ate any snacks during that time. Either way, they wish him the best. Quote, we hope he's well fed and recovering from the experience, said Gant.
This is, I think, the first food fight we've had, which wasn't actually a fight.
Well, he was fighting to try to get his way out.
Fair enough. With an animal.
Mm-hmm.
Raccoons are not nice animals.
Not usually, no. I had a friend that he worked in construction, and every day there was a raccoon that would come when he was eating his lunch, and he would toss him some food and, you know, chips or whatever. And one day that fucker came up and scratched him right on the hand. He had to get rabies shots.
Really? That's nasty.
Yep.
Is there a detox or place that you can go? I know they have alcohol facilities.
Do you need David's
anonymous? Drug facilities. Is there a sunflower seed addiction place?
I don't think there's a 12-step program specifically for sunflower seeds, but I don't know. Maybe you could Overeaters Anonymous. Yeah. That's not really overeating. It's just focusing on one particular item.
Guess what I did today?
You don't want me to guess what you did today.
You're not going to be able to guess it. I, probably for the first time in 15 years, completed an online crossword puzzle.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'm training for trivia night.
Okay.
By doing crossword puzzles.
That may or may not help you.
I'm doubting it will. But it took me an hour and a lot of cheats. And
I have a crossword puzzle app. I have two. I have this one, and then I have the New York Times crossword puzzle is good. They do
Do they have a beginner's version?
They do. Every day you get a free mini puzzle, and they have a timer.
Maybe
on
that's
it.
Where I need to go. I did the timer today, and I was at 55. I was at 45 minutes.
Okay. Well,
is that bad?
Well, the mini ones that are on the New York Times app, I try to do it in under 30 seconds.
The whole thing?
Yeah. It's a mini. It's like 8 or 10 clues.
Oh. Okay.
It's a good day when I can do it in under 30. I can always do it under 60. Except on Sundays, because Sundays are a little bit bigger.
Okay.
But most days, yeah.
Alrighty.
Moving on to story number four.
I digress.
This story is from the South Florida Sun Sentinel and was sent to us by Patty from Plant Park.
Patty sent us stuff before, didn't she?
Oh, yeah. She sent us, this is like the third or fourth one she sent.
Thanks, Patty.
Patty's email, she writes, I adore you guys, and I love rainy season. I know it's not for everyone, but I just love hearing the lightning and booming thunder as added sound effects in your podcast. Yeah, those aren't added sound effects. That's actual
real
thunder and rain. Again, from Titusville, hiding in the overgrown, rain-soaked weeds, Patty from Plant Park.
Yeah, Patty, we don't have our studio is not soundproof.
Yeah.
Well, sort of. A corner and a half is, but
we're not in that corner.
Yeah, we're not in that corner. The rest of it is just flat out. It doesn't matter how much. I don't think how much soundproofing you'd have.
No,
we've had some nasty storms recently.
Yep. Well, here's the speaking of nasty storms. The story that Patty sent to us is.
Oh, I've seen this one.
Large alligator swims through rain flooded Florida street. We've seen alligators on the side of the road, strolling on sidewalks, and swimming in private pools, but this recent incident combines all those scenes into one. While at a traffic light by a Wawa gas station in Pinellas Park the other day, as he was getting off lunch, commuter Roger Light Jr. noticed people recording something on the road. Then he saw what they saw. A gator swimming on a flooded street.
It wasn't swimming. It was walking with a purpose.
No. It's pretty much swimming in this one, in this video. Quote, who is playing Jumanji in St. Petersburg, Florida? He joked on Facebook when he posted a video of the gator approaching his car on that rainy day. I was wondering why people were out videotaping in the pouring rain and people backing up in the right turn lane that the gator was in. He added, 1 minute, I'm just looking around waiting for the traffic light to turn green. And then the next thing I knew, I see this gator coming towards me on my passenger side. LOL. Because it's Facebook and you got to put a LOL when you say something funny. His post has been shared more than 1600 times on Facebook, where it has been viewed 95,000 times since August 15th. I was very surprised it went viral, Light told the Sun Sentinel Monday. All I did was share it on my Facebook page, and then everyone started sharing it.
He added, I knew I had to take a picture of the gator because no one would have believed me. Plus, I wanted to let my friends know that there was a gator around that area. A nuisance alligator trapper contacted by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. We got a lot of shout outs to the FWC this week, don't we?
Yep.
The trapper was dispatched to the scene at Gandy Boulevard North and Grand Avenue. The 8'6" alligator was removed and processed, said Tammy Sapp, a spokesman for the spokeswoman for the commission. In most cases, including this one, the alligator is processed for its hide and meat, said Sapp. But occasionally a nuisance alligator is sold alive to an alligator farm, animal exhibit, or zoo, she noted. So this one became some
gator bites.
And boots.
I need a new pair of boots.
Generally, an alligator is considered a nuisance if it's at least 4 feet long and poses a threat to people or pets. Serious injuries caused by alligators are rare in Florida, Sapp said. In 2018, there were 13,210 nuisance alligator complaints to the commission's statewide nuisance alligator program hotline. Those reports led to the removal of 8,455 nuisance alligators. So, quick back of the envelope math, that's 5,000 that they just left out there.
Yeah.
People worried about an alligator in their neighborhood should call the FWC hotline at 866-FWC-GATOR.
I did not know that number.
Now you do.
Now I do. And now, there was another story that went along with this one that I saw.
Yeah, I think I saw that one too.
And the one that I saw was a gator climbing a chain link fence.
Yes, I saw that one too. I wanted to bring that up.
They took a picture. There was an alligator that, I don't know if it was on the side of the road or whatever, but whatever yeah. it was a chain link fence.
Yeah, it was about a 4 foot.
Or more. It was a full 5 or 6 foot fence. Okay. Climbed, and I'm talking a little thing. I'm mm-hmm. talking at least an 8 foot or
yeah,
you know,
it was
six or eight foot. Climbing with his claws, climbing mm-hmm. the damn fence, went over the top, down to the other side.
Yep. Somebody posted a comment on that video online. I saw they said they just need to start putting up walls instead of chain link fences. I was like, no, that's how you get those fuckers to sprout wings and start to fly.
Darwin taught us that.
Did he?
Not really, but. I was going with evolution, which
I mean,
that's all I got.
Game of Thrones taught us that.
Yeah, that's true. We got dragons.
Yep.
So I'm up to season 2, episode 6, I think. So yeah, she
only
just
got 3 episodes in from last week. Then.
Oh yeah, we only do a few a week.
Okay.
And now this is when she got her. The dragons were stolen.
I never got that far. So spoiler alert.
Oh well, don't tell me then. You never got that far?
No, I only got through like the first couple episodes in season 2.
Oh, well, then never mind. Story number 5. Florida man tries to sell a stolen bull at an auction. I have not seen this one before. This story comes from WFLA.com. Florida man took a bull to be auctioned, and I'm guessing a cow, a bull.
A steer.
A steer.
Yes.
Right, thank you, Joel. To be auctioned off last week, but there was one problem. It wasn't his to sell. It's hard to believe that you would take a stolen bull to the local market where all the cowboys want each other, said one Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd.
Grady Judd, yep.
Kyle Rayborn visits Cattleman's Livestock Auction every week to buy and sell cattle. Last Tuesday, he spotted something out of place, but familiar. The first bull to walk into the ring... He was mine, Rayburn said. I recognize him. I stand up and get a good look. There's my mark in his ear.
How dumb do you have to be?
It's still got the tag in his ear.
He's still got the tag in his ear or the brand or whatever.
Yeah.
And just take it into the local auction house.
He watched as the 4-year-old semi-Angus black bull he owns but wasn't selling was sold for more than $1,000.
Semi-Angus?
I guess.
So yeah. I mean, like,
I don't know.
Mama or daddy is Angus, but
maybe
the other one isn't.
I don't know. Had
semi
I not,
means half.
Thank you. I know, Joel. I don't know. I don't visit cow auctions.
So he's not a full-blood Angus.
Apparently not, Joel. Had I not been there during that 45 seconds of that happening, he would have been gone forever, he said. There is no trace.
That's a quick auction.
The bull had strolled over to a nearby pasture, and Rayborn's neighbor, Stuart Greg Smith Jr., age 38, seized on the opportunity, authority said.
He grabbed the bull by the horns.
You've been waiting for me to...
I've been waiting to put that in, yeah.
Shock. Of course I was mad, Rayburn said of his reaction.
I support my family with these cattle. Somebody stealing from me drove the nail a little further. Stu loaded up the bull and he took him to the market. That's no bull, said Sheriff Judd.
See, even Sheriff Greedy Judd.
He did.
That's
no bull. Yeah, dad jokes. Oh, I had a good one today. If you're in America, in the if you're American in the living room, what are you in the bathroom?
European.
European. I like that. The auction's owner, David Tomcow, Dave, sorry, I'm going to call him Dave for short, which it says Dave
That's
here.
That's what it says on the thing. You added the id. I think you were looking at your sunflower seeds there when you said David.
I know. I'm all jacked up tonight. So said his company takes down the name and phone number of people who bring in livestock. We basically just go by what you tell us, and that's what we put on the ticket. 99.9% of people are honest and everything is right. Once Rayburn showed his proof of ownership, the sale was called off.
So something tells me they don't get a lot of stolen bulls that they got to auction off. This seems pretty rare.
Well, 99.9 is a pretty high number out of 100.
Yeah. Well, it's like one out of 1,000 that isn't.
Thank you for that quick math, Joe.
Yep. I am a financial analyst by trade, so I got to do stuff like that in my head real quick. But yeah, I'm the cattle rustler has pretty much gone by the wayside lately, I would think. It's not something that you.
Apparently not in Polk County.
Well, this is just one guy. This is just a one-off story.
We put Stu in the pen where he belonged, and we took the bull and gave it back to the victim, says Sheriff Judd. Smith Jr. has a criminal record that includes multiple counts of theft and grand theft, burglaries, possession of cocaine. Holy shit, I got to take another breath. Hang on, let me start over. I know it was that long. Smith Jr. has a criminal record that includes multiple counts of theft and grand theft, burglaries, possession of cocaine, felony domestic battery by strangulation, aggravated battery on a pregnant woman, among other charges, according to the sheriff's office.
This is the guy you want living right next door to you. God damn.
My neighbor.
Not only is he a cattle rustler.
Well, now he's got arrested last week on charges of grand theft and dealing in stolen property.
Aggravated battery on a pregnant woman. Somebody needs to fuck this guy up.
That, however, we said we were going to do this, and we haven't done it. We have not kept a list of all the different charges across the county. We have never come across of an aggravated battery on a pregnant woman.
No, that's a new one. We have seen battery on an elderly person several times. Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
But no battery on a pregnant woman until today. Although I think that's a good thing. That's not.
Oh, I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying it's funny. Not funny. The different counties that have different names of charges and things.
Yes, I think that's a good one to have on the books.
Okay. Don't disagree.
Yeah. You shouldn't even have to have it on the books, but I mean, it's good that they specify that they can add that charge to somebody. Moving on now to our final story. Story number 6. This one's from CBS12.com. Florida man attacked by a South American home invader. A Florida man was bitten on the foot and scratched on the leg by a kinkajou that ran into his girlfriend's second floor apartment at about 5:45 a.m. on July 25th.
The fuck is a kinkajou?
It's
I am 50. How old am I?
You would know better than me.
Am I 52 or 53?
What year were you born?
67.
What month?
July.
You'll be 53 now then.
53. I am
50. No, you're 52.
No, I'm not.
67?
Wait a minute. Where's the damn app? How old am
I? You're 52.
How old?
Oh my God.
Am I? Oh, here it is. Got an online calculator. Here we go.
I was 52.
Born the 28th. Oh, I got to go way back. Sorry, this is going to take a while. Oh, there we go. All right.
Scroll, scroll, scroll.
Calculate. I'm 52.
That's okay. What I said. Don't believe me.
52. Where was I? 52 years old, and I have never, ever heard of a damn kinkachu.
It's not a Pikachu.
What?
It's not Kinky Friedman.
What is it?
It is a small animal from South America, similar to a raccoon or a monkey.
Well, which is it, a raccoon or a monkey? There's a big damn difference.
Well, it's kind of like halfway between both of them. It's got little hands like a raccoon or a monkey has, but it's kind of.
Right, you keep
big
going.
Eyes.
I'm gonna look this shit up. I have never heard. I swear to God, I have never heard.
There's a picture of it in the story, linked in the show notes.
But this Kinkajou was waiting on the front doorstep, and it ran inside when the man opened the front door to go to work at 5:45 in the morning. You wake up at 5:30 or 5:15 to get up and get your ass out the door at 5:45, and then you got this fucking Kinkajou running in your house. That's the last thing you expect at 5:45 in the morning. Another woman who shares the apartment says she woke up when she heard the sound of the Kinkajou attacking and biting the man in the kitchen. Quote, "It sounded like a 300-pound man was tackling him in the kitchen. That's why I thought somebody was breaking into my house. It scared me, to be honest. When he opened the door, it charged at him, at his leg, and like clung to his leg, and then he was trying to get it off of his leg. And it kept coming back in." So he kept kicking this fucker out the door, and it kept running back in.
What's this guy's name? What's his name?
It does not say the name of the victim, but it does say that Natalie Dulach is the roommate who shares the apartment. After the man was bitten by the Kinkajou, he managed to get it in the bathroom and closed the bathroom door to keep it there while waiting for the wildlife officers. According to a FWC report on the incident, the Kinkajou was taken to a licensed wildlife facility that was not named in the report.
What's her name?
The woman's name, the roommate's name, is Natalie Dulach.
All right.
Or Dulach. The previous night, the man who was bitten saw the Kinkajou sitting on the fence outside and left it some watermelon to eat.
That's what I was about to say. This was the headlines from USA Today. A Florida man fed a Kinkajou. The next morning, the super aggressive exotic creature attacked him.
Yep. It was waiting on the doorstep the next morning when he opened the door. FWC officers were not able to determine where the Kinkajou came from or who owned it. Quote, "We'll probably never forget this. Everybody was like, only in Florida."
Yep.
Dulach said.
Kinkajou. So he was feeding it. And then that's, yep. Yeah.
So he fed it watermelon the night before and it wanted some more. Never, no good deed goes unpunished, Phil.
So we got the vulture. We got some dude feeding the vultures that's now shitting and terrorizing up the place and vomiting everything.
Yep.
And now we got some exotic South American thing.
Did you see the picture of the Kinkajou?
Yeah, I saw it.
It's kind of cute, but kind of weird looking.
Not really. No.
Yeah, it's got those big eyes.
It's got weird eyes. It's got these big wide. It's got Shrek ears.
Yeah, it kind of does, doesn't it?
It's got the ears that stick out like Shrek. I have never heard of this before.
I think they've got them at Busch Gardens.
Never been to Busch Gardens. Anyway.
Well, you need to go to Busch Gardens.
That's the show for this week, folks. If you want to hear more, please subscribe to the podcast using the links in the show notes.
If you like the show, please rate us 5 stars and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to Florida Men. Spit the seed out.
Like and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We are at Florida Men Pod.
Got a suggestion for a story you'd like us to cover? Send us an email to floridamenpodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 567-432-9674.
Did we get a voicemail?
We got a voicemail this Woo-hoo! Week. Let me play this for you guys.
Hello. This is your favorite and most loyal listener, Heather. Listening to the latest episode, when I heard that apparently Phil is no longer able to say woohoo with my name because Travis was a little butthurt and decided he didn't like that. Now, let's make something very clear. I don't care if Travis pays a little bit more money. I put forth infinitely more effort and am clearly funnier than Travis will ever be. Is Travis your guys' medical correspondent? I think not. Has he helped create t-shirts for your show? I think not. So, if you want to talk about who deserves a woohoo after their name, not only was I your first and most loyal patron, but I contribute more to the show than money could buy. So, Travis, kiss my ass.
I like her attitude. That girl's got spunk.
Terrifies me. But she sends me sunflower seeds, so I... Guys, but... Now, for the record, Travis is your brother.
Yes.
Travis is a big man.
Yes, he is.
No doubt in my mind Heather could take him.
Oh yeah.
If you would like to support the show financially, you can drop something in our online tip jar at paypal.me/floridamen, or to get early access and extended every episodes and other cool stuff, you can subscribe at patreon.com/floridamen, or you can send us something from our Amazon wish list. The link is in the show notes.
Where you got those?
That's how I got my sunflower seeds.
Yep.
I'm a happy man.
That's all it takes. Then,
I'm a simple man, Joel. I ain't gonna lie.
That's true.
I'm a simple man.
All right. Yeah. Well, we'd like to thank our Patreon subscribers personally. They are at the Jacksonville tier, David, at the Tampa tier, Stephanie, Long Since Past Podcast, One Foot in the Grave Podcast, Kurt, Colin, Roxanne, Matthew from Washington State. And at the Tallahassee tier, we have Heather and Josh,
woo-hoo!
Paradise After Dark Podcast, Erica, Koneth, Nicole, and Matt. And at the Daytona tier, we have Katie and Jessica. At the Orlando tier, the Coasties, Tiffany, hashtag call me Tiff. And as mentioned earlier, at the Miami tier, we have Travis.
Ooh, ooh.
What the fuck was that?
I was trying to come up with something else for Travis. I'm going to get in trouble and I fucked it up.
Was that like a gorilla noise? Or
what the fuck? No, I panicked. Leave me alone. I've had too many sunflower seeds.
Just read your line.
This program is provided for informational use only. No warranty or professional relationship is implied, and no refunds will be granted.
Views expressed on this program are solely the opinions of the Florida Men Podcast and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Don't take medical advice from a podcast. And do not imply an endorsement by our sponsors, spouses, families, employers, each other, or the Florida Board of Tourism, or the FWC for that matter.
Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or retransmission without the express written consent of Major League Baseball is prohibited.
This podcast was recorded at Southern Audio Production Studios in Fort Myers, Florida, and mixed in a vending machine at Pine Ridge High School.
And as always, we'll finish up tonight with the Ballad of Florida Man. And Tracy, you can kiss my sunflower seed ass.
That's disgusting.
Florida Man. Florida man, it might be crazy, might be stupid, he's a Florida man. He's got his feet in the sand while he works on his tan. He's got an annual pass to Disneyland. He drinks his beer from a can, he lives in his van. Some mobile tiny house inside, it's Florida man. Florida man. Might be crazy, might be stupid, he's a Florida man. A Florida man. He's a dumbass, but we love him, he's a Florida man.
Little bounce, bow wow.